Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our meditation on the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught us to call God Abba, our dear dad. He taught us to pray that his name may be made holy, that his kingdom We have been meditating on this aspect of the prayer, the kingdom. We have seen that Jesus proclaimed the presence of the kingdom. In fact, he started his proclamation saying, "The time is up, it is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come, it is very near, it is at hand. You are at the door of the kingdom." The Pharisees came and asked Jesus for a sign. And he said, "No sign will be given. You won't say it is here, it is there, for the kingdom is already here in your midst. In your hearts, in your midst, the kingdom is already present." Jesus pointed to the miracles he performed as a sign of the presence of the kingdom. He explained to them the meaning of the exorcisms. Jesus was casting out demons. And by this casting out demons, Jesus was demonstrating that the kingdom of Satan has come to an end. Satan, the strong one, has been guarding the world, humanity, and keeping the entire humanity as prisoners. Now, a stronger one has entered the scene. Jesus, the stronger. He has bound Satan. He has disarmed Satan. And now, the prisoners of Satan are being set free. Humanity is being liberated from the slavery of Satan. That's how Jesus interpreted his miracles, his exorcisms. So the activities of Jesus were somehow signs of the presence. But now, what is this kingdom? How did Jesus explain? Of course, it is seen as health. It is seen as forgiveness. But there is something more. Jesus was desperately trying to interpret, explain the nature of the kingdom. We see how he interprets it. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 30, we read, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it?" Through parables, Jesus is trying to explain, interpret the nature. Parable could be a story or an ordinary event in the nature that anybody can see and understand. This event or an episode is taken from the nature and is applied to an unearthly, otherworldly reality. Jesus is trying to explain the nature of the kingdom through the known facts. And here, most of the people in Canaan, the land of Canaan, Israel, were farmers. And the farmers are familiar with sowing seed. They are familiar with the growth and they are familiar with the harvest. So Jesus gives an explanation, interpretation of the kingdom using the parable of a seed. For example, in Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 to 29, we hear Jesus say, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and arise night and day. And the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." This is how it is with the kingdom, Jesus said. It is something like a small seed sown in the ground. The seed is the word of the kingdom. It is being planted in the heart of the humans. And there, the word slowly grows, produces fruit. The kingdom is working from its inner power. It's not gathering something from outside. is the inner power, the word of the kingdom that grows. As a seed is growing from inside, of course using the manure, the water, the light, all from outside, but the inner strength, the inner power is giving the growth. So he says, the kingdom of God is a powerful seed that will grow and produce fruit. Day and night it grows. Nobody sees how a seed grows. Suddenly there are two blades of leaves and more leaves come. And finally there is grain on the ear of corn. Slowly it grows without any spectacular events, adventure. So is the growth of the kingdom, Jesus says. Another example, he said, is the parable of the sower, the well-known parable of the sower. The sower goes to sow, as in the Gospel of Mark. See, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. These are the three major chapters where the parables of the kingdom are narrated. The parable of the sower and the seed. The sower goes to sow, and as he sows, the seed falls on various types of grounds. Some on the wayside, some on a rocky ground, some in a fruitful land. According to the nature of the ground on which the seed falls, the seed grows or does not grow, produces fruit or does not produce fruit. It happens that the sowing takes place, the word is scattered all over the world. Everybody has a chance to listen to the word. But not all are attuned to God's word. Not all are willing to listen or accept the word. And because the heart is not prepared, the kingdom does not bear fruit in many people. But in spite of the apparent failure, disaster of the kingdom that does not produce fruit, there are some people who receive the word and they accept it in a noble heart. They produce fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and even 100-fold. The kingdom will bear fruit. It will become a reality. So it is a small growth, and it encounters a lot of difficulties, rejection, persecution, opposition. Still, the power, the inner strength of the kingdom will produce fruit of repentance, fruit of peace, justice in this world. Another example of the kingdom is again related to a seed. Now, the parable concerns the beginning and the end of the kingdom. It's the parable of the mustard seed, a very small seed indeed. But when the seed is sown, it grows into a big shrub, much bigger than many other small shrubs. Even though the mustard would not grow into a big tree, still small birds can make their nest on this shrub. So Jesus is taking this example of the smallness of the seed and the greatness of the tree. In fact, the tree or the mustard plant is taken from a parable or a vision in the book of Daniel chapter 4, where the king Nebuchadnezzar is having a dream, a vision of a huge tree. A tree that spreads all over the whole world, where the entire birds of air can build their nests on the branches of the tree, and the entire cattle and humans can find shelter under the tree. So this huge tree stays in the background of the parable of the mustard seed. And this huge tree, Daniel would interpret to Nebuchadnezzar, saying, "You, O king, are the tree." Now this huge tree spreads all over the world, is something, an immense growth. The mustard seed, a small seed, grows into a shrub, and that gives protection to many birds in the air. In Jesus' words, this parable somehow shows the difference between the small beginning and the enormous growth at the end. The mustard seed will grow into a shrub to give protection, shelter to the birds of the air. Meaning, the kingdom of God will invite the entire humanity, irrespective of caste and creed and race and nationality, all are invited into this kingdom, and the kingdom will spread all over the world. Another example is that of the yeast, the leaven. A little bit of leaven that can enliven the, ferment the entire mass of flour, 3 measures. So it is something like the yeast leavening, fermenting the mass. One small atom transfers its quality to another atom, and this chain reaction in a very short time ferments the entire mass. So it is with the kingdom. A person who listens to the word and receives in the heart the message of the kingdom will experience the joy, the happiness, the peace, and this joy, peace will spread from one person to another. And so he becomes a witness, he becomes a catalyzer to spread the good news of the kingdom. Very soon, the whole world will be fermented by the spirit of the kingdom. So Jesus explains how a small beginning can catch up with the whole world and transform the face of the earth. In fact, Jesus is speaking about his own beginning. He came to be born in a manger as a son of a village carpenter. He grew up as a carpenter. And when he was grown and started his ministry, it was not the powerful, the rich, the learned, the influential people that he gathered around himself. A few fishermen, people of the lowest category in the society. And he did not begin in the big cities. He started in Capernaum. He wasn't from Nazareth. In the village of Nazareth, comes to Capernaum, he gathers his disciples as the mustard seed. Small is the beginning. But Jesus tells us that it will grow. After 3 years of preparation, he sends this small band of people to conquer the world for God. Conquer the enmity, conquer hatred, conquer evil, and bring peace and unity and fraternity, freedom to the entire world. And Jesus promises that this will become a reality. As a small piece of yeast, leaven can ferment the whole mass. So the message of the kingdom, started though small, will ferment the whole world. Jesus tells us, even though it is small, it will become a reality. And Jesus gives another examples to explain the nature. This is a gift. This is a gift given by God. Jesus tells the disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." The kingdom is a gift given to the Father. It's a gift of mercy, the gift of acceptance, gift of love, given to the sinners, given to the lost. The most beautiful parables in the 15th chapter of Luke, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son, all being found. The son returns to the father, and the father throws up a feast to celebrate the return of the prodigal son. The father is happy. So it is with the kingdom. The kingdom of God is the celebration of the father, the expression of the joy of the father in finding the lost son. It is a gift. It is a free gift. It is like a banquet, Jesus says, to which everybody is invited. Only thing you have to do is accept the invitation, enter the banquet hall, and be there. Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24, tells us the parable of the great dinner. The kingdom of God is like a great dinner, a banquet, where the Father is the host, and we all are the honored guests. Everybody is invited. Even those who have nothing, even those who have no faith, even those who are totally lost, anybody is welcome. Come all. And in fact, Jesus tells the owner of the house, the father of the house is sending the servants to force people to come in. Everybody should come in. Be there. Accept the joy of the kingdom. Well, in order to accept, you have to be ready. You have to come. The kingdom is like a hidden treasure, Jesus would say. It's something like a treasure hidden in the field. A person who goes around, a farmer who goes around looking for a field and finds a field where there's a big treasure hidden. And he is overjoyed. He wants by all means to buy that field. For that he sells everything. He is ready to sell everything. Whatever he possessed, he finds as useless if he can buy this field where the treasure is. Kingdom of God is the treasure which makes your life so happy, which makes you so fulfilled, happy, that you don't need anything more. You'll be ready to sell everything. The same thing, he says another parable of a merchant who goes around searching for a pearl. And when he finds a precious stone, which is so beautiful, so worthy, so precious, that he finds all what he had so far achieved as useless. And he sells everything. And the selling is a happy, a joyful event. He is not concerned. He is not unhappy that he has to sell these things. He goes and sells whatever he has and buys that pearl. So it is with the experience of the kingdom. The same thing Paul explains in a beautiful way in the letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as a loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as a loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. In order to gain Christ, in order to gain kingdom, he considers everything as rubbish, as lost. So this is the experience of the person. This is how one finds himself in front of the kingdom. When the kingdom is revealed, when one understands what is this mystery of the kingdom, then he finds that he is happy. And he doesn't need anything more. In order to come to this experience, Jesus says, you have to enter. Enter through the narrow door. Not everybody finds this door. Not everybody finds this treasure. Only those who are willing to forsake. So it's another aspect of the kingdom. It is a free gift. It is a gift that makes your life fulfilled, happy. But at the same time, it will cost you dearly. You had to pay the price. It's a costly grace. In order to enter the kingdom, you have to abandon certain things, which later on you will find is a burden. You see, something like a camel. Jesus said, it is very hard for the rich to enter the kingdom. It is like a camel trying to enter through the needle's eye. Unless one is ready to forego, abandon certain things, he will not be able to experience the kingdom. So, kingdom needs decision. Kingdom needs also sacrifice. Kingdom needs persecution, suffering persecution. Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for justice sake. Theirs is the kingdom of God. The kingdom brings with it also opposition. Persecution. Those who stand for the kingdom will have to suffer. But that suffering will itself bring them joy. So the kingdom brings joy. It demands sacrifice. But at the same time, you know, kingdom is not an earthly reality. We have been saying it again and again. It is not a territory. It's not possessing something. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, gives a succinct definition. What Jesus had been explaining through 40 parables and more, and showing through all his activities, Paul is putting in a nutshell in these few words. Letter to the Romans, chapter 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. All this is a kind of spiritual experience. It's a justice, righteousness, that you are righteous before God. God accepts you as a righteous person and you behave as a righteous person according to the law. You behave righteously towards God and towards your neighbor, and God accepts you. And this brings shalom, peace. Kingdom of God is equivalent to shalom. Peace between God and humanity, peace between brothers and sisters, peace between the entire humanity, entire world. And this brings joy. It's not pleasure of the senses, it's a joy of the heart, a bliss that comes from the Holy Spirit. Peace, joy, and justice. Here we see also kingdom as values. Jesus proclaimed the presence of the kingdom, and this kingdom manifests itself in the values of the kingdom, values of justice, values of peace, value of joy, brotherhood, freedom. And the more you absorb these values, the more you experience God's kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom has come, but at the same time he has asked us to pray for the coming of the kingdom. It is here, but not fully yet. Kingdom has entered the world against the kingdom of Satan. Satan has been defeated, but he has not been totally destroyed. The kingdom of God is the rule of justice, rule of good, but still evil persists. So we have to continue to pray for the coming of the kingdom. We have to continue to struggle for the coming of the kingdom. And for that, the Lord will tell us how to struggle, how to pray. That we will see in the next session. When we pray, we become aware that the promise is true. And this has been given, the promise has been given in the book of the Revelation. In book of Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 4, it said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. So this is the presence of the kingdom. But that completion is not yet. So we continue to pray till the full coming, full realization of the kingdom, and full transformation of the whole world and humanity. We pray, Thy kingdom come. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come in our hearts, transform us, make us new. Make our hearts fertile field where your word, your kingdom will take root and produce fruits 100-fold. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.